8 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. That's something you need to get off your chest. Now's the time to do it. Whether it's just from your daily life, from sports. Let's go back to the Aaron Boone thing for a moment. Hunter Winnelstadt tosses him the other day. The fan who's actually making the comment. And he said, well, somebody has to go. Is that fair to Aaron Boone?
No, it's not.
It's like, so somebody has to go because somebody said something you didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sure that it's Aaron Boone. And there's no proof to back up that it's Aaron Boone. That's a problem I have where somebody's got to go because somebody said something right. I didn't like. I got a problem with that. I just do.
I also have a problem, and I agree with the foul territory guys. I believe it was Todd Frazier and Scott Braun talking about why didn't the first base umpire that day come over and be like, hey, by the way, I'm standing over here, and Aaron Boone didn't say anything.
No, I think nobody in the dugout said anything. It wasn't anybody in their dugout.
Why didn't anybody come out and say that? Because that would make sense that you'd be like, all right, this is not, you know. And maybe it's because the guy that was at first base, John Tempain, had a terrible night last night for Yankees A's. He was awful behind the plate. And he heard some chirping from the A's dugout, apparently, and the Yes Network crew panned along the first row above the dugout. It was like, was it any of them instead and not actually from the A's dugout? It was actually pretty funny.
So who did say something?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. But it was pretty great. Well, that was relatively easy.
I was talking to Aaron Judge yesterday, and he said the way the guys all together in the offseason got there early, talked about last year what went wrong, how it wasn't acceptable, turned the page and came in early as a group to do their work with a focus.
I'm right there with them. You know that.
Oh, whoa. John Tempain. Is that a Hunter Winnelstadt impression?
There's Hunter.
Hunter didn't want to take ownership of that yesterday either. His post-game comments were interesting. The 0-2? Huh? Was it any of them, or was it someone actually in the A's dugout?
So good.
My thing is this. If you're not sure,
right,
and nobody in your crew is sure, how do you toss somebody? How do you toss them when you don't have verification? You didn't hear it. None of your crew heard it. How do you toss a guy? Well, somebody has to go. Why? Why does somebody have? If you don't know who did it, then how do you toss the manager that didn't say anything?
And you had the perfect chance to be like, hey, you know what? Got this one wrong. We're human.
Yeah. If you screw it up, fine. Just go, yeah, you know what? I got that wrong. Mm-hmm. That was the fan. That wasn't Aaron Boone. I blew that.
Most reasonable people will just move on. Be like, all right, that sucks. I've screwed up too. You know, I had a bad day at my job. But to double down and then double down again,
that's
triple or quadruple down.
That's garbage.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
Makes you look childish.
Yeah.
Makes you look petty. Makes you look like you're incapable of addressing your own shortcomings.
Right. But
makes you look like a damn fool.
You know, I feel that the umpires are just going to be empowered's not the right word because that's kind of a buzzword in 2024. I'm going to say
emboldened.
Emboldened to who cares if we get it right or wrong anymore? Who needs to really try to be as right as possible all the time when Angel Hernandez can miss balls and strikes?
He's what, 90% or whatever?
7 inches at a time, and nothing is done about it. Umpire Hunter Wendell Steth, John Tumpane, they're not going to get fined for instigating either of those issues.
They're not going to lose their jobs.
How do you throw a guy out five pitches into a game, no matter what he says? Like, what could Aaron Boone have said that Hunter Wendelstadt has not heard before five pitches into a game that will get him run?
Because I seriously doubt Aaron Boone's going to drop something about his mom, his wife, his family, use expletives to talk about them. I doubt Aaron Boone, he might use... Hey, you bleep and bleep moron. You blew that. You know, that pitch was 3 inches off the plate. Yeah, I just.
Aaron Boone is prone to ejections, but that's a massively quick trigger.
Is that a case where it's just guilt by reputation? That just he's immediately, he hears something. Oh, it's got to be Boone because he's known for that. He's known for getting tossed. Don't know. And then after it's like. Yeah. Well, he didn't say that. Well, I don't care. Somebody's got to go. You're the guy that gets tossed on a fairly frequent basis. It's going to be right. You today.
Which is unfair on its own. Yeah. Like, if you are going to be so bittered by what's happened previously with a player or a manager, a coach, you probably don't need to be doing their games.
Probably not.
If you can't walk into it with a... You know what? He's going to get after me. I need to be the bigger person.
And when you screw up, just go, blew it. I blew that. I'm sorry. Aaron Boone, I'm sorry. I should not have tossed you.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Boone would have been probably okay. Just next time, how about be sure that I'm saying, if I'm Aaron Boone, I'll say, oh, you'll know it's me.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know it's me saying something because I'll come out and say it to you and to your face.
What Hunter Wendelstadt said is Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in the dugout. I don't want to eject a ball player. We need to keep them in the game. That's why that's what the fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected.
But it wasn't any of his players.
It wasn't anybody in the dugout.
It was a guy in the stands.
He's in control of all of the fans of the New York Yankees. You know what? This is his first day in New York.
He's never heard a Yankee fan pop off. He's never went to Boston and heard one of them. Hey, you freaking moron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, Hunter Wendelstadt. Get that skin a little tougher, man.
Like, shouldn't your dad have told you this is how things go?
It's not your first day. It's that first day on the job, man. All right, 808. So, Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you got something you want to complain about, send it to us today on the team line. 970-242-1340. You can win a bottle of Talon Wine. The perfect wine to pair with whatever you're serving off the grill, out of the oven. So, send that today in to us if you got something to complain about. James over at Cudbury Craft Coffee and Beer House. James, once again, thank you yesterday for having us over there.
Yes.
For the great coffee and donuts.
Mm-hmm. Tyler loved his coffee, whatever you sent over.
Loved it. I think he's still buzzing around here this morning.
Yeah, he's still bopping around like he was not tired Franzen yesterday.
No, but James, I don't know if it's really a wine. He's the least point. We had, of course, the chairman in last hour that we didn't play.
Now I'm disappointed.
You go. Okay, there we go.
It's 10 seconds of my life I'm never getting back.
Probably not. But what were you going to do with it anyway, to be quite honest? You're still going to have to sit there, regardless.
Yeah.
All right, it's 8:10. It's time to go around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so we mentioned this earlier in sports, talking about Patrick Surtain II, that PS2, they picked up the fifth-year option on Patrick Surtain II. Everybody thought Denver would do this, and no great surprise that they did it on the all-pro cornerback. 69 tackles, 12 pass breakups last season. He'll make $6.6 million with $3.5 million guaranteed for this year, but in 2025, his salary will be $19.8 million. It'll be fully guaranteed. So at least for now, in the short term, that let's say trade him tomorrow night, which you keep hearing that rumbling around that the Broncos are going to try to trade up. They're going to try to get J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to trade Patrick Surtain. And that's going to be part of how they're going to move up in the draft. I'm going to say it right now. They're not going to trade Patrick Surtain. I could be wrong. And tomorrow, you are on Friday morning, Cake might be playing a clip of me saying this, and I was totally wrong when they made a trade and they got up. They moved up to...
That was me.
Okay. It's like, I don't think my thing's up doing that.
No, so, that was me.
I just don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they can afford to do that. They have to draft a quarterback, though. They got to get somebody. Now, and I get it, they got Zach Wilson, which it's low cost. I get that. It's a low cost move.
I'm not wild about that move. I agree with you about the PS2, though. You're going to be not very good this year. I think you need as many good players as you can find.
But I also think you have to look at avenues to fill that spot. And if Zach Wilson, former first-round pick, and you get him for basically nothing, what's the harm? If it doesn't work...
Well, I'm talking PS2. Like, I don't think you can move PS2 because you're not going to be very good. And you're going to need good players.
Well, I was just going back to what you're saying about Wilson while you're not. To me, I just don't see where... If you can fix him, you can fix him. And if you can't, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to start. It's like the Rockies. You got to draft arms. In this case, the Broncos, you got to bring in arms. And somebody's hopefully going to work out. Patrick Surtain, he's a cornerstone of your defense right now. He's now become the face of your franchise. Can you afford to do that? Trade him.
Just see how much of a rebuild it's actually going to be if they do trade him.
If they do, it's... They're burning. They literally
take a lot of Mondays off.
We've talked about. They've tore it down to the studs.
Mm-hmm.
They've totally bulldozed it. If PS2 gets traded,
if he gets traded, then Monday morning is going to sound a whole lot like you talking about the Broncos game and me. I didn't see it. I was out doing yard work on purpose. Nobody even asked me to.
But once again, getting back to Wilson for a moment, Denver cannot afford to be idle here. They cannot afford to go, well, Zach Wilson was a number one pick, second overall, top. It was a first round pick. We can fix him. We don't need to get anybody else. We got Stidham. We got Ben DiNucci. We're just fine. That would be absolutely disastrous for the Broncos if they don't get somebody. Doesn't mean you have to mortgage the farm to go up and try to get J.J. McCarthy. But if Penix is there at 12 or Bo Nix is there at 12, you better pull the trigger on it. Or if you think Spencer Rattler is kind of a hidden gem, then get a pick in the second round. Because to me, Spencer Rattler is not a first-round pick. That'd be idiotic to do that. Because there's too many unknowns about Spencer Rattler to make him a first-round pick. But the skill set's intriguing enough. Then the second round, yeah, absolutely. So the Athletic, they have a piece out called Broncos NFL Draft Big Board. 50 targets that would help Denver revamp roster. And so they have like each day of players that should be available when the Broncos are drafting with what they currently have, the picks they currently have right now. They have Drake May on here. I can't imagine Drake May would fall that far. Right? Because they're talking about him going top three.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the article and it's surprising.
I think it's just players that if available, they should take them.
Oh, well, that's different.
Which, okay. So, yeah, there's So they have Drake May. They have Joe Alt, tackle from Notre Dame.
If available, they should take anybody.
Brock Bowers.
Got to fill them column inches.
May and Daniels. They have Jaden Daniels on this. He's not going to be. He's going to be there at 12 unless they trade up. Teron Arnold, the corner from Alabama. Maybe slips to 12. Probably not, but might. His teammate, Dallas Turner. Denver needs more edge rushers. Denver needs a lot of everything.
I don't think he's getting to 12
either. Think he's getting to 12 either. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. They got a like here about Murphy. I get it. He plays bigger than his size at 6 foot 297. But, man, I hate the... He plays bigger than his size. That's in college football.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always necessarily work in the NFL.
I'd much rather have him be 3 to 4 inches taller and 30 pounds lighter.
Yeah, so just on this list, it's...
He ain't getting no taller.
These are players available to the best of what they feel like is available day one and day two, day three for the Broncos that they're picking.
Gotcha.
If those guys are available, not that... They really think that Jaden Daniels is going to drop to 12 or Drake May.
There's so many random draft things on The Athletic. It's very hard to filter through.
There is a...
ranking the quarterbacks by intangibles. Doesn't that mean you can't put a value on it if it's an intangible? How do you rank them then? Explain that to me, Dan Pompey. How do you rank unrankable stuff?
That's a good question.
You know how you do it? You got column inches to fill. We're paying you to write this stuff, so you need to write it and talk about it. Can we just get the draft over with? We just need to get the draft. Mock draft 14.2.1.1. It's like an IP address or an app update. I have all of it. There's going to be enough mock drafts that somebody's bound to have between their 30 different editions all the picks correct.
Are we going to do a mock draft tomorrow?
No.
You're not going to? You don't want to? Just like top 10?
It's not whether I want to or not.
And our team's
We're picks? Probably going to end up doing it because we usually do every year.
But I think just top 10.
No matter
10,
how and much and we
your
resist.
Pick, your pick for the Browns, my pick for the Broncos, and then we'll just do that.
No matter how much we want to resist.
I started compiling a little like Broncos mock draft for all their picks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I started doing it.
We were talking yesterday. We did pole dancing locks of the draft.
That was a good segment, by the way. That was good.
Thank you. The Browns are going to take an unneeded defensive player. That's my draft lock. They're going to do something, and then they're going to take a day two head scratcher. That's what they're going to do. I don't know who exactly the name's going to be, but that's pretty much my mock draft is they're going to take four guys who don't pan out, one guy you've never heard of that is okay, and then what are you doing, Andrew Berry? That's going to be one of those. And my draft lock is the Broncos take a defensive player at 12.
At 12. I think it's a lock they trade back. I think they trade back in the draft.
They should.
That's what I feel like they're going to do.
Trade your picks to the Bears. They need more help.
But then here's a story that makes you go, maybe not, because Peyton Manning says the Broncos are very interested in J.J. McCarthy. But apparently he's not the only one the Broncos are interested in. Albert Breer of AthlonSports.com, now that no longer what, SI, for Albert Breer.
Yeah, that's a new byline for him, isn't it?
They've been doing a lot of work on Bo Nix. The team had an hour-long Zoom with him on March 7th before Sean Payton and others with the Broncos attended a private workout with him 11 days later. Don't have a second-round pick right now. So they may just have to sit and wait to see.
Got two in the top 100.
Yeah. That's not good. That's why I think they trade back.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my theory at the moment.
You spend all day picking day three, though. You got three fives, a six, a seven.
Yeah. Day three, they could be very active, which they also may take some of those to try to get into the second round and trade to get back into the second round. I think they're going to trade back. That's just the feeling I get. But
if they were higher, if they were in the top 10, I would probably be quicker to agree with you, because they would get a pretty decent haul. At 12, I don't know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
Because usually the teams that want to move up to their what they want to give you isn't right. Great anyway, because they're picking at the back.
Going on what I keep hearing from others that is, you're right. I mean, it'd be if they were in the top 10, say they had the ninth pick, they'd draw a lot of interest. Yeah. I don't know how much.
Seven.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in the top 10, they would get interest. At 12, they're going to get interest, but it's going to be
14,
yeah,
or 17,
and maybe a second, or
29,
and maybe a second round pick,
yeah, and a second, which is at the back, it might as well be a third round pick,
because it's going to be late second round, it's going to be early second round,
you know. So like, I don't know,
and they're in a bad spot. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't at 12. I mean, they're going to get a good player, just not who they feel like they need to target, which we like to assume is going to be a quarterback.
Right. It's the dreaded apathy. It's an apathetic season where you're just average at 8 and 9, and then you're in the middle of the first round of the draft. Yeah. You're 2 hours deep. Everybody that's all geeked up for Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, they're zonked out because they've been doing this for 2 hours, and it's tired of Roger Goodell getting booed. It's no longer humorous anymore. And now it's like, we're only at pick 11.
I think they trade back in that they can get later round picks. They think they can hit on some hidden gems in later rounds.
They need quantity.
And that's where I think.
More than quality right now.
And I think that's where, at number 12.
That's
where they could get that. They're looking to add, get more picks deeper into the draft.
And that's what makes me believe that's a definite possibility.
All right, 822, Cody Rourke's going to join us in just a moment. We got Jace with us this morning.
Yeah,
with Colorado Division of Wildlife. Of course, we got Outdoor Heritage Day coming up on Saturday, Riverbend Park in Palisade. And chance, Jace, to get out and expose the kids to fishing and just the great outdoors here in Colorado.
Yeah, so we'll be giving out some fishing poles, and we stocked the lake there. Kids will have an opportunity to earn the fishing pole through a pretty simple three-tiered system of getting their hook baited and learning about fish and wildlife regulations. We got tons of good sponsors that are coming out this weekend. Orchard Mesa Gun Club is going to bring out a shooting range. CPW is going to have our shooting trailer out there. We're going to have some live shooting sports that kids can participate in, and tons of other stuff.
Archery as well, for those that have never picked up a bow and arrow, chance to go out and do that as well with the kids.
Yeah, and then we'll have some trappers. Colorado Trappers Association will be out there as well. Tons and tons of good groups out there. Completely free event and good opportunity to just get outside and learn about some of the opportunities that the Grand Valley has to offer.
And so it's free. We want to mention that, Jace, for anybody that wants to bring their kids out to Riverbend Park. But all this stuff is free, which is a really cool thing that Colorado Parks and Wildlife does, providing this initial experience for a lot of kids to, like I said, pick up a fishing pole, do some of these other great outdoor activities.
Yeah, it's totally free. And, you know, sponsors like Cabela's make it possible for us to actually do a raffle. So there's an opportunity for kids and people to get in on a raffle and get some cool prizes.
So it's this Saturday, Riverbend Park in Palisade from 9 until 2:30. No pre-registration, just bring out the kids, show up on Saturday and have a great day of archery and the gun range and fishing and all those things for the kids.
And totally free. And yeah, it's a great opportunity to just get outdoors and enjoy a nice Saturday.
All right. So how long have you been with the Parks and Wildlife folks?
So I am relatively new. I haven't been doing this a long time. I got hired on in January, grew up in the Front Range, and then went to school out here and got lucky enough to be placed back out here. So,
well, great. You go to Colorado Mesa? Or?
Yep.
Right. Well, fellow Mav alum. So
there,
great.
There it is.
Well,
yep.
Well, so glad that you're out here making sure that kids get exposed to some great outdoor activities, and of course, making sure everything is safe for folks when they use, of course, our parks here and wildlife areas across Colorado here on the Western Slope. Jace, I appreciate the time once again. It's this Saturday, the free Outdoor Heritage Day. It's at Riverbend Park in Palisade, 9 to 2:30, and there's no age limit on this,
nope.
Correct?
Nope.
All right. And it's all free, once again, to go out and do some of the great activities with the kids out there on Saturday. Jace, I appreciate the time. Yep. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Cody Rourke joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team. Talking Broncos with Mile High Sports' Cody Rourke on the Jim Davis Show.
Covers the Broncos for Mile High Sports, also has the Locked On Broncos podcast. He's our Broncos insider, Cody Rourke. Good morning, Cody. It's been a while. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, Jim, you know, the build-up to the draft, it's exhausting. It's good. But you know what? It's great to be back on the team.
Well, it's always great to get your insight about what's coming up with the draft tomorrow night, but also a lot of other storylines that are going on. I don't know where to start here with Zach Wilson, new uniforms. I feel like I need like a wheel, a spin the wheel and pick the topic kind of thing to start with. Let's start with Zach Wilson. Let's do that first, where the Broncos make the trade to get the former first round pick of the Jets, Zach Wilson, the former BYU quarterback. My initial take was you got to throw arms at the problem. You're not giving up a whole lot. If it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. I don't think it's a terrible deal for the Broncos. And we'll see, can Sean Payton fix Zach Wilson? But once again, I also don't think the Broncos can stand pat and go, well, Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci, we're good. I don't think they can sit pat with the draft coming up tomorrow.
I think they can't stand pat with the draft, obviously, with Zach Wilson coming. And look, you mentioned you just swap picks there. You don't have to give anything significant up to get him. Sean Payton is the type of guy I feel like if Zach Wilson comes in and lights it up, is going to look back and maybe fire off some more comments toward Nathaniel Hackett about the coaching job that he did last year. The thing with Zach, he's a young guy. He's obviously, there's several quarterbacks in this year's draft that are going to be the same age as him. But I think the question that we run into is, can Zach Wilson come in and compete? Now, that's the idea, Jim. The idea is that he's going to come in and compete for the starting job. But here's the deal. I think so many people are like, oh, no, this means, you know, with Zach Wilson in the fray now, this means that the Broncos, they're not going to go with a quarterback in this year's NFL draft. I still think, Jim, Denver is going to be very heavily involved in quarterback in round one, whether that's J.J. McCarthy, whether that is Bo Nix. I don't think that changes. And the reason I say that is because you look at the quarterback roster as is. Before Zach Wilson, it was Ben DiNucci. It was Jared Stidham. Those guys don't have any contract length past this season. And same thing with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson doesn't have any contract length past this season. So Denver still doesn't have a long-term answer at quarterback. Now, I think what we can see here, a rookie, if Denver goes with a rookie, that's going to be the guy maybe this year or even, you know, more than likely next year if that's not this year. But the reality is Denver's looking for a backup quarterback as well. Is it going to be Jared Stidham? Is it going to be Zach Wilson? I think that is probably the larger scope of this whole situation. So I don't think Broncos country should read too much into it. I think it is a low-risk, potential, you know, maybe rewarding type of move for them.
Do you see a scenario where, say, the Broncos take Bo Nix, but then they look at next year? Let's say Dak Prescott's available. That's where Denver goes, that they get a rookie, they see how it works. We talked about it with Sean Payton. Ian Book was the only rookie he's ever started. That's not an area that he's had a tremendous amount of history in terms of developing a young quarterback. And let's say Prescott is out there for the Broncos to bring in as a free agent. Or are they looking for the solution now in 2024? Not, yeah, we'll see if something works this year. Zach Wilson, Bo Nix, whatever. But we're really looking to next year where there's somebody like a Dak Prescott that could be available.
Yeah, I don't think... You mentioned it. Obviously, Dak Prescott does have some proven success in the NFL. He's going to be due for a new contract. I don't see the Broncos getting back into that game after the whole Russell Wilson saga. Now, obviously, it was a little different with Russ because they had to trade for Russ, which included a lot of capital. Ideally, with Prescott being a free agent, he's going to cost a lot of money anyways. And I don't know if Denver's in a position to pay a guy. They want to pay a quarterback right now. I think that they want to find a guy right now and develop him. I think that they have a lot of confidence in Davis Webb, this coaching staff, Pete Carmichael now coming in, Joe Lombardi. They want to put a system in place for this young guy to come in, and then they're going to build around what he can do, and they're going to build this team around him going forward, because next year Denver's anticipated to have close to around $100 million in salary cap space. to operate with. Obviously, there's going to be a factor into, I think Broncos fans should expect a Patrick Surtain extension happening in season. And then obviously they're going to work to extend Quinn Meinerz as well. But they're going to have a lot of room to operate with going into next offseason, Jim. And I think that they're really going to focus on building around a young guy. Every move that they've made so far seems to indicate that, I mean, that could be the plan for them here. It seems more likely that's going to be the path that they take.
Cody Rourke with us. Mile High Sports Lockdown Broncos podcast. Our Broncos Insider on the Team Sports Network. So tomorrow night, the draft in Detroit. What do you think happens tomorrow night? Do they stay at 12? Do they trade up? Do they trade back? Who do they pick tomorrow night?
I think they trade down from 12 to maybe 16 or 17, and I think that they acquire they get Bo Nix. And then obviously I think they get a round two pick, a mid-round two pick, and then they go and they get another talented player, potentially a wide receiver. That's my vibe that I've kind of got the feeling on, Jim, and I think that there's a lot of likelihood there. But let's say there's another scenario here. Let's say Denver believes that Bo Nix would be there in round two. I see them trading down, acquiring an early round two pick, taking a skill player or, you know, an offensive tackle or, you know, even an edge rusher at this point, and then getting Bo Nix in round two early on, however that may look. I think that's going to be something for Broncos country to keep an eye on here. They have a lot of options, though, Jim, which is nice. I mean, it's, you know, Denver's sitting there at 12. There are a lot of teams that are rumored to want to be moving up, and so Denver's phone is going to be ringing there. I'm very excited to see what they decide to do now. Should they trade up? I don't think that should be the course of action here, but we already heard George and Sean say that they don't mind. Like, they're not afraid of doing that. Like, if there's a guy that can change the landscape of their franchise, they're going to go and they're going to be as aggressive as possible to be able to bring him in. So the opportunities are endless, Jim. It's going to be a wild first round tomorrow.
Of these three quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., if you were George Payton and they were all three there for you, who would you get?
Well, that's the tough one. I really like Bo Nix, but, you know, you mentioned J.J. McCarthy. If J.J.'s there, I mean, I would look at J.J. I mean, he's been part of a structure that, you know, has had a lot of winning. Now, a lot of people, I think the biggest knock that people have on him is, well, you know, they didn't win because of him. They had a strong defense and a really good run game, but J.J. made throws within the structure of the offense in which, you know, they needed him to. And, you know, I think a lot of people say, well, he's not a great deep ball passer. The reality of the situation is Denver had one of the best deep ball passers in the league last year in Russell Wilson, and they couldn't hit the intermediate stuff. J.J. is a guy who can stand in the pocket. He can hit the middle routes. He can hit up the seam, and he can, you know, stay there and hit those intermediate routes to the rate in which Sean Payton wants. He's a high-level processor. Same thing with Bo Nix. To be honest with you, I think I would be between Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. I'm not sold on Michael Penix Jr. being a good fit for the Broncos. I don't even think I'm gonna be sold on him being a first-round quarterback. I think he goes later. I think he drops out of round one. So for me, I'm going to go with Bo. You know, like I said, I've watched a lot of Oregon games, Jim. I think Bo's a high-level processor. You know, a lot of people critique him the way that they did Justin Herbert coming out, though all he does is throw screen passes. You don't throw 4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns by just throwing screen passes. He's a three-level thrower inside the West Coast-style offense that they had with Will Stein there. Did a really good job operating their system, and I think he'd be exactly what Sean Payton wants as well. And there's a lot of, like, I mean, you look at all the sports books, Jim, they're favoring Bo Nix to Denver. That's the favorite right now. So we'll see where the money's at, and we'll see how things play out here.
One of the things that I hear about Bo Nix from some of our listeners is that, well, you look at the numbers when he was at Auburn, and they weren't great, and yeah, he had two really good years at Oregon, but anyways, he's basically Jarrett Stidham when you look at the numbers at Auburn. But I have to say, but you can't take out the Oregon years. You can't go, well, this is what he did at Auburn. The 2 years at Oregon, he was sensational. And
yeah.
I just think you can't just take that and say, well, we got to set that aside. Well, no, you can't, because that's part of his resume. That's what he did. He's trending in the right direction. I like
100%.
Yeah, I like Bo Nix over McCarthy, because I tend to agree with Kurt Warner in that, like things about J.J. McCarthy, would like to see him probably stay in college football one more year, wherever that might be. I just don't feel like you're right. He made the throws. He made the plays. He does a good job of processing defenses, but he never had to win games for Michigan. And that's one thing that Kurt Warner talked about, and that he never had to go out and win a game for them. It didn't cost them games, didn't lose them games, but they were so good with the run game, the offensive line, the defense. He didn't have to win games by himself, that he had to go out in fourth quarter and make plays. I think that's my concern about him, is the word Bo Nix He's done that. He's been there, done that with that kind of success at Oregon. I just feel better about Bo Nix if you're talking about these two guys. There's a lot of criticism about Penix about the way he throws the ball. I'm less concerned about that. I just think Bo Nix is a guy that tends to fit what Sean Payton wants to do. He seems to me, I didn't say he's a Drew Brees clone, but he kind of fits what Sean's looking for in terms of quick release, accurate, reads defenses, processes quickly, and they're going to make the right decisions.
Yeah, 100%. And look, you got to stop listening to that Jared Frazier guy texting the show all the time, pushing the Michael Penix agenda there. But, the one thing I would say here, another thing about Bo Nix is, I think a lot of people are like, they are right. Like, you're looking at a lot of people ignoring what he's done at Oregon, and they're just focused on Auburn. But you look at, the Auburn system, like, he's a guy that's had a different offensive coordinator every year of his college career, and he's done pretty well for himself. But you look at Auburn, where he wasn't the greatest. He had some highs and lows. But then you look at Oregon, his most recent body of work, he's shown tremendous development. He's shown tremendous growth. The NFL draft isn't where a guy is coming in exactly who he is. Obviously you're going to be getting a good player, but can he grow to become even better? I think Bo has a very, very large sample size of demonstrating the ability to get better year in and year out, despite changes, despite going through different OCs every year of his college career, and to be able to put up the numbers that he did. And on top of that, he's a leader. He's a guy that, people in that huddle, they look to, they listen to. And I think that's what Sean Payton is looking for. I think he's enamored a little bit with a lot of different options here in this year's NFL draft. And like I said, we don't know how the board is going to fall, but I'm very curious to see how it goes and really how Denver reacts to, I'd say, maybe the first four picks of this year's draft.
My Life Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke with us on the Team Sports Network draft tomorrow in Detroit. And, of course, Broncos picked up the fifth-year option on PS2. Cortland Sutton did not show up to the voluntary workouts, which it's what the name says. It's voluntary. But he certainly wants to get a new deal done. Do you see, and I know that Jeremy Fowler from ESPN reported on this, it's also on your website, My Life Sports, that the Broncos received some interest in Cortland Sutton from other teams, but Denver does not plan on trading him. Could there be a possibility that that's not entirely accurate, that the Broncos to maybe move up in the draft or to add some draft capital, that Cortland Sutton does get traded tomorrow?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility, Jim. And look, obviously, Cortland, you mentioned it's voluntary. He wants a new deal. I don't think he's going to get a large sum of money in terms of, maybe what he's looking for. I think his value, ideally, you're looking for $12 or $13 million a year right now, which is, based on the current market, I think we saw with Gabe Davis and some other guys right now around the NFL in this offseason cycle. But what you are looking for is, Cortland is a guy who's coming off of a 10-touchdown performance, this past season. He was really the only producer in Denver's offense. So he's got a valid point there. But it's also to the point where Denver themselves, they may be priced out. They may just say, we will look to trade him. It could even involve, Jim, is swapping a first-round pick, obviously, in this year's draft, like swapping picks with somebody and then including Cortland to get a back-end round-two pick. I mean, there could be a different, multitude of options, or even like a third or fourth-round pick. I mean, that could be something that they look at as well, which would then, leave room for them to maybe probably go after a wide receiver in this year's draft as well. So I think that there is, if I had to estimate, I would say there's probably a good 50-50 chance that Cortland could be traded tomorrow during the draft or maybe even on day two. So we'll see where things go. I know that Denver, this could be also a move for them to maybe drive up the price a little bit. Cortland wants a new contract, and I don't think he's going to report until he gets one. So it's either that or, I think he'll be traded.
You loved Jaleel McLaughlin last year for the draft. Denver got him. Who do you like this year? Is there a player that you really, you've watched, you've scouted a little bit, and you go, man, I hope Denver gets this guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if he's going to go drafted or undrafted, but that cornerback from the Canadian Football League, Quantez Stiggers, going straight from the high school to the CFL, like, he's a talented guy, developmental guy, has, I think some work that you have to do with him, but I like Jim Leonard being in the situation that he's in here with the Broncos coaching DBs and obviously being the passing game coordinator. I still think Denver needs some help at corner. I think I like, obviously Riley Moss and Damari Mathis, but I think you need to add more depth to the position outside of just Levi Wallace, who's just is a starter so far through a good portion of his NFL career. You need to add more bodies to that room because you're also going to need guys who can play special teams And if you got some of these guys starting, you know, they're not going to be able to play special teams. So get a guy like Quantez Stiggers in there. He's a guy that I've been very, very high on from a defensive back standpoint.
Cody Rourke with us today on the Team Sports Network. Finally, do you like the new unis?
It's up for debate. I mean, there's so many different combinations, Jim. I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like orange on orange with this current jersey.
Ding, ding, ding. Buckeye, we all agree. That looks
that's a lot of orange.
That is atrocious. Please, dude, don't wear that uniform, Denver. Don't.
No, please.
Roll out Wilson in that uniform.
My favorite combinations would be, I like orange with the white pants. I like the white with the orange pants. I like the white with the blue pants. But I also like the blue with the white pants. I think that's a really cool look, too. Aside from that, I don't feel as strong about them. I will say this, though. The throwbacks, perfect. I mean, why couldn't that be the permanent uniform going forward? I don't understand it. Hopefully, that's the case. I know that the NFL, they might levy up some rules here in the next couple of years. So maybe Denver can make that their permanent uniform, because that right there, they did a tremendous job with that one. The new uniforms, not so sold on myself.
I'm with you on that. The throwbacks, the 77 throwbacks, they're modernized just a touch, right? I mean, there's just a little bit of a different, but they hold to the classic aesthetic of those, that first Super Bowl team. And yeah, I just, that to me, that's the one. Just go with that. Just go with that, Denver, and maybe have one other uniform or two. Don't try to be Oregon. Okay, it's all right. You don't have to try to be Oregon.
Like Boise State's, honestly. Yeah. Like, that's the thing I looked at. I was like, why does this look like a Boise State college football uniform?
The multitude of combinations that they have. But yeah, you're right. Color scheme-wise, yeah, it's very Boise State-ish. You're right about that, particularly with the blue. Yeah. Even though it's a little bit darker shade of blue than Boise State. But yeah, I think we all agree.
We'll see.
Give us the throwbacks. That's all we want. Just give us the throwbacks and just put the rest of the stuff in the closet, okay? All right.
I'm with you.
Cody, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. And as always, go Tigers.
All right. Cody Rourke, My Life Sports, Locked on Broncos podcast. Yeah, we all agree.
I want the orange over orange with Zach Wilson in the jersey. Make it happen.
That one's just hideous. The other ones, they're okay. I don't hate the other ones. I don't
think the uniform's hideous. Wait until Zach Wilson's out there running around in them. Like, oh, this is a bad look.
Wait until he gets to Dove Valley hoping some moms show up and come out to watch him practice.
Yeah, some hot ants.
Oh. Oh. 8:45.
Ladies 45 and over need not apply for tickets. You're in.
The Zach man says,
yeah,
you've got a free pass.
The Z man.
All right. Since we just talked Broncos, let's do a Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia today, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. All right. Here's a question today. The Broncos have only drafted two tight ends ever in the first round. Name them.
Brock Bowers.
Leading up to tomorrow night.
Okay.
That have been drafted previously. The Broncos have only drafted two tight ends ever in the first round. Name them.
It's pretty easy, right?
I think it's fairly easy, yeah. So first correct answer wins. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Send your answer in right now to get a gift certificate to Wrigley Field. 970-242-1340. Broncos have only drafted two tight ends ever in the first round. Name them. Send your answer in. Text only, please. 970-242-1340. All right. CSU spring game. We're going to break that down with Brian Roth. Mark Johnson will talk Buffs tomorrow. Hopefully, Coach Prime will have some players out there for the spring game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Did you see what the kid who's leaving? I can't remember his name. You see what he said? He wants to go somewhere where he's not playing for clicks.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Ooh, that's not good. All right, 8:47. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. got a gripe, a complaint, get your thoughts in today on the team line.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
970-242-1340.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Got a couple of, I got at least a couple here. Throwing the mic away from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
New uniforms are not that bad, people. It's a nice refresh, honestly. Zach Wilson's going to suck. Thank you, Dylan.
Agreed.
Guru Gary, maybe the Broncos can give Zach Wilson the same jersey number Russ had, so you know. Those who bought Russ jerseys can still wear to the games. Then Zach will think he has some real fans.
That's not going to go well if you want Zach thinking he has fans. Because
he's looking for a certain fan base. Though.
Most of the fans didn't like the other Wilson. There are noted differences.
Very true. All right, we do have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Andy correctly identifying Noah Fant, Riley Odom.
All right. Yeah, Riley Odom's out of Houston, 1972. Noah Fant out of Iowa in 2019, who, of course, got dealt to Seattle in the Russell Wilson trade. All right, Bronco Sarge. I saw somebody compare the new unis to Blue Mountain State. They ain't wrong. I just looked it up again because I forgot what they looked like in Blue Mountain. Yeah, they're pretty close.
Yeah. Blue Mountain State, by the way, was the stadium cinema for yesterday that Cody got correct.
Oh.
So it all ties together.
Yeah, I forgot that Alan Richson, who's Reacher, was on Blue Mountain State. It was Thad Castle. I forgot that he was on there.
Love me some Thad Castle.
Ed Marinaro is the coach. It's what, Hill Street Blues, former NFL player? Yeah. Alan Richson, who wants to play Batman when they, of course, the new DC Universe, he has said, I want to play Batman.
How many book portrayals do you need?
Apparently has not enough.
Apparently not.
I do like Reacher. It is a really good show.
I haven't yet
it's
devoted
good.
Time to it.
He's gotten a lot bigger, by the way, since he was Thad Castle. He's quite a bit bigger.
Well, to play Reacher.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was kind of hilariously little.
Yeah,
for
I know.
Because
remember, Kenda read like the first book or two. And then when the Reacher movie, Tom Cruise came out, she goes, that's not what he looks like in the books.
Yeah.
They were close.
How do you find so many actors to be smaller than your star? Because Reacher's like huge in the books,
yeah,
right?
He's like
6'4,
6'5,
250.
He's Alan Richson.
Yeah.
He's that big. And
it's weird how that works out.
Not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a far more accurate depiction of the character from everything that I've not read the books, but people who love them know the books, know the character well, say, yeah, he's definitely that guy. You know what else he also played? He was Aquaman in Smallville.
Really?
Yeah. He's been around a little bit.
No, he can't be Batman. He's already a character in the universe.
Nope, Chris Evans. Evans.
I know. It still irritates me. Josh Brolin still bothers me.
Yeah, Josh Brolin, Thanos and Cable, Chris Evans, Johnny Storm.
Really bothers me.
And then, of course, Captain America. Yeah.
There's 7 billion people on this planet. You can't find two separate people to play two different characters.
No, it'd be great if Chris Evans was the Human Torch in Deadpool and Wolverine.
That would be good because it's a multiverse.
That'd be great. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer.
Chris Pratt's just going to play everybody.
I saw the trailer. It looks good.
I'm very
excited about it. Yeah. Very excited
about
it.
Not safe for work, the trailer, though.
No, it is not. All right, hour 3 coming up.